Om Gyanatmanandasya Janatana Silakaya Chakshasavatam Dena Tatmai Sri Guru Dena Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Dena Mutale Sayam Hipokadamayam Dajati Sao Pandapitam Vanshakalpatubhyascha Pipasindhivayevacha Atitanam Pavinevyo Vaishnavevyo Krishna has been bound by his mother's love. Actually, that is what bound Krishna. And then, the last 2 verses of chapter 9 say, while Mother Yasoda was very busy with household affairs, Krishna was bound because she was afraid that he was going to run away into the forest. While Mother Yasoda was very busy with household affairs, the Supreme Lord Krishna observed twin trees known as Jamalarjun, which in a former millennium had been the demigod sons of Kuvera. In their former birth, these two sons, known as Nalakuvera and Manigriva, were extremely opulent and fortunate. But because of pride and false prestige, they did not care about anyone, and thus Narada Muni cursed them to become trees. Some short comments by Sri Krishna Chakravarti Thakur on those verses, I believe. So we'll read. Very short. Even though bound by his devotee, Krishna is still able to liberate others, as will be seen in chapter 10. That is the chapter we'll begin today. And Krishna, this is quoting Krishna, out of debt to my mother, I have been bound by her. What can I do to clear this debt? Thinking in this way, Krishna liberated the two trees situated in the yard. So Krishna is going to express his mercy. Now the first text of chapter 10. Then in the next chapter, by the way, in chapter 11, these are the pastimes from the sixth chapter. But Krishna kills Putana. Up till chapter 11, Krishna is in Gokul. And then in chapter 11, it describes how he moves from Gokul to Nandagaon by the way of Chatikar, by the way of the road that intersects the road going to Vrindavan. Chatikara, that area. Anyway, that's the next chapter. So this is, in one sense, there are more pastimes before Krishna leaves. Not very many though, but this is the last full chapter of Krishna and Gokul. And in the yard of Nanda Maharaj, there were two trees, Arjun trees. I'm not sure what an Arjun tree is. Does anyone know? Anyone ever seen this particular type of tree? Where is it? Yeah? What does it look like? Pink color. And very good smell or no smell? Small pink flower? Little? Or? Yeah. But it's, so it's like tamal tree but bigger.
Yeah, tamal tree. It's small. The more bigger this one, tamal tree.
Yeah. Of the same kind of tree?
It's look like
same. Oh. Okay. So, K. King Pariksit immediately asked this question from Sukadeva Goswami. O great and powerful saint, what was the cause of Nalakuvera and Manigriva's having been cursed by Narada Muni? What did they do that was so abominable that even Narada, the great sage, became angry at them? Kindly describe this to me. Text 2 and 3, Sukuvacha, Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Pariksit, because the two sons of Kuvera had been elevated to the association of Lord Shiva, of which they were very much proud, they were allowed to wander in a garden attached to Kailash Hill on the bank of the Mandakini River. Taking advantage of this, they used to drink a kind of liquor called Varuni. Accompanied by women singing after them, they would wander in that garden of flowers, their eyes always rolling in intoxication. Within the waters of the Mandakini Ganges, which were crowded with gardens of lotus flowers, the two sons of Kuvera would enjoy young girls just like two male elephants enjoying in the water with female elephants. Now, Prabhupada has a fairly long purport to 2 and 3, and then a short one to 4. And while the two, not demigods, but the two sons of the associates of Kuvera, were they sons of Kuvera? Yes. The sons of Kuvera, they were very, very, because Kuvera is a devotee of Lord Shiva, and he's a very opulent treasurer of the demigods. So they were influenced by their opulent position, and they were intoxicated as the sons of rich men can get. They got very proud, they were intoxicated and enjoying with young ladies. So here's Prabhupada's purport to 2 and 3. This verse mentions some of the material advantages afforded to persons associated with or devoted to Lord Shiva. Apart from Lord Shiva, if one is a devotee of any other demigod, one receives some material advantages. Foolish people therefore become devotees of demigods. This has been pointed out and criticized by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Kaimas taste ritagyana prapadyante anya devata. Those who are not devotees of Krishna have a taste for women, wine, and so forth, and therefore they have been described as ritagyan, bereft of sense. The Krishna consciousness movement can very easily point out such foolish persons, for they have been indicated in Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says, Namam duskritano mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya prita jnana asuram bhavamashrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest amongst mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So what is Prabhupada saying here? He's saying we can easily point out, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement can easily point out such foolish persons. Which foolish persons is he referring to? Persons who are devotees of the demigods. But he expands the category still further to anyone who is not a devotee. If they are devotees of demigods, they are not devotees of Krishna. And therefore they fall into the category of those who are not devotees of Krishna. And anyone, Prabhupada explains here, who are not devotees of a Krishna, that means that they still have their influence by false ego, which means that the processes of thinking in which one thinks of oneself as the center of existence, and one thinks of oneself as the enjoyer, karanam guna sangasya, one is under the influence of the modes of material nature, bhunkte prakriti janiya, tries to enjoy those things made of the material nature. And the tendency of such people who are not devotees, because a devotee thinks himself, what is the meaning of a devotee? It means one who has surrendered to Krishna, thinking instead of how will I please me, how will I please Krishna. So such persons who are not devotees of Krishna are thinking, not how will I please Krishna, how will I please me? And they will always tend, as Prabhupada explains, to have a taste for women, wine, and so forth, for the purpose of enjoying. So Prabhupada says, quoting Krishna, namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama. And Prabhupada would often say this: if someone isn't a devotee, this is all we have to know. If they're not devotees, they fit into one of four categories: mudha, naradam, maya aprita gyan, and asurabhav, demons. One of four categories. So Prabhupada says here, anyone who is not a devotee of Krishna and does not surrender to Krishna must be considered naradama, the lowest of men, and duskriti, one who always commits sinful activities. Thus there is no difficulty in finding out who is a third class or fourth class man, for one's position can be understood simply by this crucial test: is he or is he not a devotee of Krishna? And sometimes if one, so this is very, very strong, there is a line. If you're on this side of the line, you're a devotee. And if you're on this side of the line, you're not a devotee. You're a mudha or a duskritina, a naradama. And therefore, those on this line, devotees, they are thinking how to please Krishna, and their taste is different than those who are thinking of themselves as the center, the non-devotees who are thinking of themselves as the center of existence. So Prabhupada says it's very simple to find out who's a third and fourth class man. There's a simple criterion. Is he a devotee of Krishna? If he is, he's on this line, this side. If he's not a devotee of Krishna, mudha, naradama, donkey-like person, working so hard, Prabhupada would often quote this standard, working so hard just for a little sense enjoyment. I heard him say in a class in 1972, I was just listening to it today, where he's saying that people, if one is working so hard, how much can he eat in one day? And no matter how big his house is, he's working so hard to make so much money, but he only sleeps in one small area anyway. There's that famous story, I think it was a Tolstoy story, short story about this man who, this Russian man, he said that they told him he wanted some land, and he paid a certain amount of money for that land. And they told him, you can have as much as you can walk in one day. But you have to be back here by the time the sun sets. So as much as you can walk from the sunrise to the sunset, you can have that land. So this man was very greedy. So as soon as the sun rose, he went running and 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 running. He was so greedy that he kept on running and running. Then he saw, I have to get back very, very quickly. So he was running and running the whole way. And then he had to run back twice as fast because he had run so far. And then finally he was just, the sun was going down and his heart was boom, boom, boom. And he's running all day long. He had been running. He wouldn't stop to have any food. He wouldn't stop to rest. He wouldn't drink water. He's just running and running. And just as the sun was going down, at the last moment, he came and collapsed right there and died. So then the end of the story is that the only land he ended up getting was a 6-foot piece of land where they buried him. So ultimately, that is the only land we end up with. And of course, if we are going to be cremated, we won't even get that. We have to also, can't take that land either. But people are working so hard, all day long, five days a week at least, and working so hard, but for just a little food and that a bed to sleep in. and ultimately everything must be left behind. So those kind of people, they are termed, they are not devotees, they are termed as mudha. Because the donkey, he's carrying such a big, big, big load. The washerman's donkey has to work so hard. But what does he get? Only just a little bit of grass and a place to sleep at night. So, not very high class. So Prabhupada says, if one's on this side of the line, on the non-devotee side, then he's going to be in one of those four categories. Why, then he continues, why are the devotees of the demigods greater in number than the Vaishnavas? The answer is given herein. Vaishnavas are not interested in such fourth-class pleasures as wine and women, nor does Krishna allow them such facilities. Text 4. We read the verse already. So they were enjoying. These two were enjoying. Like two male elephants enjoying in the water with female elephants. People generally go to the Ganges. This is a very, very short purport. One, two sentences only. But very, very important. Listen to it carefully. People generally go to the Ganges to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here is an example of how foolish persons enter the Ganges to become involved in sinful life. It is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Excuse me, three sentences. Everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. Very important. One's mental condition is so important. And a devotee, what mental condition does he have? He has the condition of love. What can I do to please Krishna? How can I serve Krishna? Devotion. 5. O Maharaj Prickett, who is speaking? By some auspicious opportunity. So the two were in the Mandakini Ganga with some ladies, all were unclothed, they were intoxicated. By some auspicious opportunity for the two boys, the great saint Devarshi Narada once appeared there by chance. And seeing them intoxicated with rolling eyes, he could understand their situation. Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Saru Sangha, Saru Sangha, Savasiddhihoi. Wherever Narada Muni goes, any moment in which he appears is understood to be extremely auspicious. It is also said, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasare Pai. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the kripa of devotional service. From Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 19, 151. Narada appeared in the garden to give the two sons of Kuvera the seed of devotional service, even though they were intoxicated. Saintly persons know how to bestow mercy upon the fallen souls. Next verse. Upon seeing Narada, because Narada was there, and wherever Narada goes, he only has one function, and that is to give mercy. To increase Krishna's pleasure, increase the pastimes of Krishna sometimes. But in the material world, he is just continuously distributing mercy. But how is he going to distribute mercy to these two intoxicated young demigods? Upon seeing Narada, the naked young girls of the demigods were very much ashamed. Afraid of being cursed, they covered their bodies with their garments. But the two sons of Kuvera did not do so. Instead, not caring for Narada, they remained naked. seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Anugraha Ottaya. He desired to give them mercy by giving them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. So from text, we'll read Prabhupada's purport here. And then from text 8 to 22, quite a few verses are going to be Narada Muni's words that he is going to speak, his special mercy. He's going to condemn them and curse them in these verses, but it will be special mercy. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Although in the beginning Narada Muni appeared very angry and cursed them, at the end, the two demigods, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, were able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, face to face. Thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. One has to judge what kind of curse Narada placed upon them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a good example, a very interesting example, and then we'll read Vishwanath's. This is what Prabhupada says, and he changes a few things from Vishwanath's words, and we'll listen to the things that he changes. It's interesting. When a father finds his child, this is the example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives, as Prabhupada says. When a father finds his child deeply asleep, but the child has to take some medicine to cure some disease, the father pinches the child so that the child will get up and take the medicine. In a similar way, did your father ever pinch you to get you to... Yes. Did I? No, you don't remember. No. In a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nalakuvera, that's the pinch, and Manigriva, because pinching, to be pinched is not pleasant. But the result of the pinching is pleasant, because it cures one's disease. So no one likes to be pinched, but everyone likes their disease to be cured. So sometimes the part of the cure is a pinch. So Narada, in a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nalakuvera and Manigriva in order to cure their disease of material blindness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I'll just read a little of the comment. In his comment, he says a mother pinches a child to give him some kheer, some sweet rice, sometimes. Pinches his son specifically, so Prabhupada is shifted a bit. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Narada spoke loudly. He spoke what he's going to say now. He spoke loudly so that others could benefit. Because there's a tendency for everyone who is not a pure devotee to, if they find themselves with some opportunity to get into trouble with women and intoxication. This is because that tendency to want to enjoy is still there. So, of course, one should be very careful. So, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Narada cursed them so that they could directly meet the Lord and get special mercy. So that was the pinch. The pinch was the curse, and the special mercy was that they would see the Lord. So is it worth it? So here is the first. So again, there are quite a few words that Narada Muni spoke, and he spoke them loudly so that others could hear. And some of the ones that will hear it, his words are us. So Narada Muni said, first thing he said is, amongst all the, very, very interesting, amongst all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. Zanmayeshwari,
Aishwarya.
Riches are very dangerous, especially. Why? When one is uneducated, but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. This is what Narada Muni says. So it's very dangerous. And therefore, Krishna tends to keep his devotees poor, because less chance of getting into trouble. Purport. Amongst the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and people are certainly conducted by the lower qualities, namely passion and ignorance, especially by passion. Conducted by the mode of passion, one becomes more and more involved in material existence. Therefore, human life is meant for subduing the modes of passion and ignorance and advancing in the mode of goodness. Tada rajastamo bhava kama labadayaste chetetar anavidham stitam sattve prasiddhati. This is culture. One must subdue the modes of passion and ignorance. In the mode of passion, when one is falsely proud of wealth, one engages his wealth only for three things, namely wine, women, and gambling. We can actually see, especially in this age, that those who have unnecessary riches simply try to enjoy these three things. In Western civilization, these three things are very prominent because of an unnecessary increase of wealth. It's like a curse. Even though everyone is thinking it is the greatest blessing, it is a curse. And Prabhupada is pointing it out here, and that indicating that if things aren't, wealth isn't used properly, and he explains in so many times, so many places, what the proper use of wealth is to Krishna's service, to spread Krishna consciousness. So this curse will be taken away. It is the improper use of pious credits. Due to piety, one becomes wealthy. And then if one uses the piety, the results of the piety, to act impiously, then naturally one loses his piety. So in Western civilization, these things are very prominent because of an unnecessary increase of wealth. Narada Muni considered all this in the case of Manigriva and Nala Kuvera because he found in them so much pride in the wealth of their father, Kuvera. Narada Muni continues, unable to control their senses, rascals who are falsely proud of their riches or their birth in aristocratic families are so cruel that to maintain their perishable bodies, that which they think will never grow old or die, they kill poor animals without mercy. Sometimes they kill animals merely to enjoy an excursion. So this is part of the intoxication. They don't care about pain. They call others. They're cruel. Just for pleasure, they kill. When one hears it put like that, it sounds so heartless, and indeed it is heartless. But there are so many people who go hunting. Do they do that in Australia? Ducks, they shoot ducks. They just for Hawaii, for pleasure. Get drunk. Or even the fishing. They just catch some fish just for pleasure. Or in the United States, they kill deer like that. In Australia, they don't kill kangaroos like that. They don't have a kangaroo season, do they? They don't call it killing. They just change one letter because it sounds better. Call it culling. Got to cull them. Well, they really don't. We got to kill them. Well, they don't want to say that. It sounds so cruel. Just like they don't say killing your children clinic. In fact, they don't even say abortion clinic. What do they say? They make up funny words, pregnancy term, or even they say family planning, like that. They have the, that's the son. It's like it's family something, family planning or something. But they kill the children there, the unborn children in the womb. Just like they don't kill the kangaroos, they cull the kangaroos. So it's for their pleasure often they do these things. So your pleasure, what happens if someone's pleasure is to kill to you or you or me? So why are the animals not given any rights? And then you have the silly animal rights people who protest that they ship the cattle to other countries in a cruel way to be slaughtered. So they don't protest that they're being slaughtered. They protest that they ship them in an inhumane way for the slaughtering. They want them to be shipped to the slaughtering in a nice way. So what hypocrisy in a pleasant way, in a comfortable way? How would they like it if, okay, we're going to kill you tomorrow and we're going to bring you to the place in a comfortable fashion in a nice plush car and then we're going to kill you tomorrow. You'll be so happy, won't you? That's so crazy. Such hypocrisy. And one time in Japan, we saw a sign that said SPCA, which means what? Prevention of cruelty to animals. And Prabhupada said, Society for Promotion of Cruelty to Animals. Because they're all meat eaters. That's not cruel to eat animals. So such hypocrisy, and no one even notices the hypocrisy. So this is the result of the of opulences and riches without intelligence, without mercy either. When the modes of passion and ignorance increase in human society, giving rise to unnecessary economic development, who would say that? Unnecessary economic development. It's, no one ever thinks that economic development is unnecessary. That is the goal. How could the goal be unnecessary? So the Veda culture taught something else is the goal, clearly. So unnecessary, when the mode of passion and ignorance increase in human society, giving rise to unnecessary economic development, the result is that people become involved with wine, women, and gambling. Then, being mad, they maintain big slaughterhouses or occasionally go on pleasure excursions to kill animals. Forgetting that, however one may try to maintain the body is subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. Such foolish rascals engage in sinful activities one after another. Being duskritis, they completely forget the existence of the Supreme Controller, who is sitting within the core of everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddhishe Arjuna Tishyati. Can a person who is going on a pleasure excursion to kill animals, to kill fish or to kill ducks, is he thinking, is this going to give Krishna pleasure? Is this giving pleasure to God? Is this for His satisfaction? And if it's not for His satisfaction, it's going to entangle me, kararam guna sangasa, sarasa joni janasi, and further births and death. So no thinking about the existence of the Supreme Controller. That Supreme Controller is observing every bit of one's activity. And he rewards or punishes everyone by giving one a suitable body made by material nature. Brahmayan Savabhutani Yantrudani Maya. In this way, sinful persons automatically receive punishment in different types of bodies. The root cause of this punishment is that when one unnecessarily accumulates wealth, one becomes more and more degraded, and not knowing that his wealth will be finished with his next birth. Nasadu manye. Yata atmano yam asan apikleshada asadeha. Animal killing is prohibited. Every living being, of course, has to eat something, jivo jivasya jivanam, but one should be taught what kind of food one should take. Therefore, the Ishupanishad instructs, tena taktena bunjita, One should eat whatever is allotted for human beings. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Tvayam Yomai Bhakti Prayachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. A devotee, therefore, does not eat anything that would require slaughterhouses for poor animals. Rather, devotees take prasad of Krishna. Tena taktena bunjitaha. Krishna recommends that one give him patram pushpam phalam tvayam, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. Animal food is never recommended for human beings. Instead, a human being is recommended to take prasad, remnants of food left by Krishna. Yajna shishtana shanto muchante savakyo vishai. If one practices eating prasad, even if there is some little sinful activity involved, one becomes free from the results of sinful acts. So Narada Muni first said, there's nothing like wealth that causes a person harm, gives pride, and then because this was their condition, and it leads to gambling, enjoying wine and women. And then next is the meat eating in this last verse. Then later on comes the meat eating. While alive, does this body belong to its employer? Oh, excuse me. Text 10. While living, one may be proud of one's body, thinking oneself a very big man, a minister, a president, or even a demigod. But whatever one may be, after death, this body will turn into worms, into stool, or into ashes. So that is not very pleasant. Worm, stool, and ashes. If one thinks of this body, that it's going to be soon worm or stool or ashes, it's a horrendous thought. But knowing that our life is temporary in this body, why do so many horrendous things, even if we are great, just for the pleasure of this body, which is going to turn into worms, stool, or ashes? If one kills poor animals to satisfy the temporary whims of this body, one does not know that he will suffer in his next birth. For such a sinful miscreant must go to hell and suffer the results of his activities. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the three words krimi vidbhajma are significant. After death, the body may become krimi, which means worms. For if the body is decomposed of without cremation, it may be eaten by worms. Or else it may be eaten by animals like hogs and vultures and be turned into stool. Those who are more civilized burn the dead body, and thus it becomes ashes. Bhasma sam kitam. Yet although the body will be turned into worms, stool, or ashes, foolish persons, just to maintain it, commit many sinful activities. This is certainly regrettable. The human form of body is meant for jivasya tatva gigyasa, enlightenment in knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, one must seek the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Tasmad gurun prapadyeta. One must approach a guru. Who is guru? Shabde pare cha nishnatam. A guru is one who has full transcendental knowledge. Unless one approaches a spiritual master, one remains in ignorance. Acharyavan purusho vedo. From the Chandogya Upanishad. One has full knowledge about life when one is acharyavan, controlled by the acharya. But when one is conducted by Rajagun and Tamagun, one does not care about anything. Instead, one acts like an ordinary, foolish animal, risking his life, mrityu samsara vatmani, and therefore continuing to go through suffering after suffering. Nate vadu svatagatim hi Vishnu. Such a foolish person does not know how to elevate himself in this body. Instead, he indulges in sinful activities and goes deeper and deeper into hellish life. So this is what the verse said. One kills poor animals regardless of his body, he doesn't know he's going to suffer in his next birth, that he must go to hell and suffer the reactions of his sinful activities. So there he was looking at the Nalakuvera and the Manigriva, but speaking loudly to warn others so that others could hear. Text 11. While alive, does this body belong to its employer, to the self, to the father, the mother, or the mother's father? Does it belong to the person who takes it away by force, to the slave master who purchases it, or to the sons who burn it in the fire? Or if the body is not burned, does it belong to the dogs that eat it? Amongst, because around a crematorium ghat, there are always many dogs. You have seen? There's always dogs around looking for some leftover flesh to eat. Very, very heavy. And the turtles are waiting in the water next to the Yamuna bathing ghat. And the dogs are waiting on land. And some... Huh? Some vultures are above. And the whatchamacallits, the people who tend and help with the dead body, the help with the burning, they're waiting to take any earrings or gold or something that may be there. Everyone is just waiting. The worms are waiting to eat the body in the nice golden casket. The fire is waiting. The pigs are waiting. If we hear, oh, there are so many people waiting for you, we think, oh, I must be very popular. But when we understand why they're waiting... So who does the body belong to ultimately? Therefore, who is its rightful claimant? So the point being, we perform so many activities, sinful activities, to maintain the body. But whose body is it even? If it's ultimately going to become the property of the fire, whose body is it? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on text 11. I'll just read the first sentence. This verse shows that many contradictions arise from not understanding the rightful owner of the body. So who is the rightful owner of the body? And therefore, the devotees put tilak on to indicate that this body is a temple in which Krishna lives, and that it is meant for his pleasure. Text 12. This body, after all, so he's preaching so strongly. There the poor demigods were just trying to have a good time, minding their own business. Just imagine what would happen if what's in Northbridge on a Friday, beautiful Friday night, a cool Friday night in the summer, everyone is sitting in the outdoor restaurants with their girlfriends or boyfriends, and they're drinking and they're eating meat. Just imagine if someone stood up there and started preaching strongly like this. What would they do? Huh? If you're lucky, they'll chase you away. If you're unlucky, they'll try and kill you. Really? People who are making money from these things, they don't take it serious. They don't take it lightly if someone gets in the way of their business by speaking so strongly. And even if you went to most or many churches and temples of all different varieties in this world and started preaching like this, they would also do the same thing. So they're trying to ruin our fun. We're trying to have fun. And you're saying that a body is going to turn into stool and ashes. Just imagine a Northbridge starting preaching like that. Your body is going to, within a few years, your body, this body that you're acting so hard to trying to enjoy and exploit, is going to be stool and ashes and worms. Who does it belong to? Text 12. This body, after all, is produced by the unmanifested nature and again annihilated and merged in the natural elements. Therefore, it is the common property of everyone. Under the circumstances, who but a rascal claims this property as his own and while maintaining it, commits such sinful activities as killing animals just to satisfy his whims. Unless one is a rascal, one cannot commit such sinful activities. So who but Prabhupada also speaks so boldly and strongly and straight? Prabhupada was very fond of calling people rascals. If you weren't a devotee, there's the line. If you're a devotee, you're a devotee. If you're not a devotee, you're one of four different types of rascals. Purport. Again, unless one is a rascal, Narada Muni says, one cannot commit such sinful activities. Purport. Atheists do not believe in the existence of the soul. Nonetheless, unless one is very cruel, why should one kill animals unnecessarily? The body is a manifestation of a combination of matter. In the beginning it was nothing, but by a combination of matter it has come into existence. So this is the preaching as in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita or the Buddhist philosophy. Buddhists don't believe in the soul, but they believe in ahimsa paramo dharma, non-violence. So even someone tinged with goodness, even though we obviously don't philosophically agree, but why do that? Why be so unnecessarily cruel? We don't need to kill in that way to maintain our lives. In the beginning it was nothing but a combination of matter, and it has come into existence. Then again, when the combination is dismantled, the body will no longer exist. In the beginning it was nothing, and in the end it will be nothing. Why then should one commit sinful activities when it is manifested? It is not possible for anyone to do this unless he is a rascal number one. Atheist fools, is text 13. Atheistic fools and rascals who are very much fallible. Even today, if a man who was formerly poverty-stricken gets money, he is inclined to utilize his money to perform many philanthropic activities, like opening schools for uneducated men and hospitals for the diseased. In this connection, there is an instructive story called Puna Mushika Bhava. Again, become a mouse. Chua. In Bengali, what is chua?
Indu.
Huh?
Indu.
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 Indu. Indura. Indura. Indur. Okay, Indur. A mouse was very much harassed by a cat, and therefore the mouse approached a saintly person to request to become a cat. When the mouse became a cat, he was harassed by a dog. And then when he became a dog, he was harassed by a tiger. But when he became a tiger, he stared at the saintly person. And when the saintly person asked him, "What do you want?" the tiger said, "I want to eat you." Then the saintly person cursed him, saying, "May you again become a mouse." A similar thing is going on all over the universe. One is going up and down, sometimes becoming a mouse, sometimes a tiger, and so on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Bhamate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasare Pai Bhakti Lata Vish. The living entities are promoted and degraded by the laws of nature. But if one is very, very fortunate, by association with saintly persons, he gets the seed of devotional service and his life becomes successful. Narada Muni wanted to bring Nalakuvera and Manigriva to the platform of devotional service through poverty, and thus he cursed them. Such is the mercy of a Vaishnava. Unless one is brought to the Vaishnava platform, one cannot be a good man. Harava bhaktasya kuta mahadguna. A Vaishnava never becomes a good man, however severely he is punished. So punishment and misery and suffering does not cause bhakti. Suffering and misery and punishment does not cause bhakti. What causes bhakti is association with Vaishnavas, with devotees. That causes bhakti. And then, by that association, then when there is the seed of bhakti in the heart, then a difficult situation may help one take shelter of Krishna and remove one's pride. Next verse. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pinpricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. Purport. There is a saying, the happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. There is also another common saying, Vanyahi Bhujive Prasava Vidana. A woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. Unless one comes to the platform of actual experience, one cannot realize what is pain and what is happiness in this material world. The laws of nature act accordingly. If one has killed an animal, one must himself be killed by that same animal. That is called mamsa. Mam means me, and sa means he. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me. In every state, just imagine what it would be like to be that poor animal. And the man, you're helpless, you're tied up, or you have no ability to escape. And he takes out a knife, and for a devotee, you can't even, it's too painful to even think about such a thing. But yet non-devotees are so hard. Not non-devotees only, but anyone who is sinful is so hard that they can do these things without any remorse. What to speak of killing humans? Just imagine there's killers in this world. How hard these people have become. How sinful. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me. In every state, therefore, it is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits murder, he is hanged. Okay, we'll stop here. And in the next three verses, 15, 16, and 17, Narada Muni will extol the benefits of poverty. Any questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah. 7:15. Yeah. Mudha. Then there's Naradam. Then there's Maya, Prita, Gyan, and Asura. So they all have their different meanings. All will be naturally, because they are not devotees, because they don't namam duskritino mudha prapadyante, because they don't surrender to me. They're in one of those four categories. They're duskritinas. They are. They don't have. They have bad. They have impiety. They're impious, and they're in one of those four categories. And then, out of the sukritinos, there are four different. One of them, the curious, the one who is searching for wealth, one who is in distress, and the one who is the knowledge, in knowledge. So those four have sukritin. They are pious, spiritually pious. And they surrender to Krishna even though their motivation is not pure. But also, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions a different kind of person who's ajanataha. He doesn't know who mrityu samsara vatmani. He will tepi chatitiranteva mrityu samsara vatmani. The one who is innocent. He divides it into a different category. And one who is innocent, who doesn't know about Krishna and what is right from wrong, but he's innocent. Innocent, ignorant. But as soon as he hears, he changes. And just by hearing, so most of they also transcend the process of birth and death because their ignorance is destroyed. So Prabhupada says most people in the world are actually in that category. They're innocent. They're just following Krishna. what everyone else is doing, and everyone else is going to hell, so they're going to hell too. But as soon as you tell them, they change. Did you have another question? Like Magrari was like that. Mriga Adi, he was the enemy of animals. But as soon as Narada Muni influenced him, he stopped. So therefore what Prabhupada wanted to do with the book distribution is distribute it widely, the knowledge, because it's distribution of knowledge, and then those who are innocent can have a chance of, because if you're innocent or ignorant, but still you're performing a sinful activity, you still get punished. But once you have knowledge, then you have choice. That's like the example usually given. If you go to the United States and you're driving along on the left side of the street because that's what the way we drive in Australia, and then you bang into cars, you kill 50 people, and the policeman says, "What are you doing? You're driving on the wrong side of the street." "Oh, I didn't know. I'm from Australia." "She'll be right." You think he's, "Oh, okay, that's all right then. It's all right then. No problem. No worries." No, no. It's illegal. It's your duty to know. So if one commits sinful activities, in innocence, that kind of innocence in the sense of ignorance, is not an excuse. So therefore, the distribution of knowledge is great charity, because it removes ignorance. And therefore gives people the choice how to save themselves from so much suffering. Or will it stay the same? You're asking? Or will it stay the same? If you wrongly do it, or innocently do it, Prabhupada actually said that India suffers because they have the knowledge and still they're acting against it. So there's truth in that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai. So tomorrow, Krishna Das will finish Narada Muni's words.